Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm speaking today, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, the fall of 2018, the final article in that edition. This has been a series on meditation. Now, you can get this Free Grace Broadcaster delivered to your door by just contacting them at chapel@mountzion.org or go to their website at www.chapellibrary.org. There's two L's in the middle. Check them out. You'll see stuff there from Spurgeon and Watson and Ambrose and Swinnock and Owen and Pink and good guys like that that have taught the Word of God through the years, and something to just bless you and you can meditate on yourself. This is what this whole edition was about, was meditation. And other times it's about salvation or this or that. Great, great stuff. And it's free, delivered to your door. I'm not selling anything, nor are they. This one's from Charles Spurgeon, Sweet Meditations on Christ, an actual meditation. Up until now, up until last time, actually, the booklet was telling you about meditation, how to do it and when to do it and what's it for and so on. But these are actual meditations. My meditation of him shall be sweet, Psalm 104, verse 34. Christian, thou needest no greater inducement to excite thee than the subject here proposed. My meditation of him shall be sweet. To whom does that word him refer? I suppose it may refer to all the three persons of the glorious Trinity. My meditation upon Jehovah shall be sweet. And verily, if you sit down to meditate upon God the Father, and muse upon his sovereign, immutable, unchangeable love toward his elect people, if you think of God the Father as the great author and originator of the plan of salvation, if you think of him as the mighty being who, by two immutable things, wherein it was impossible for him to lie, Hebrews 6:18, hath given us strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to Jesus Christ, if you look to him as the giver of his only begotten Son, and who, for the sake of that Son, his best gift, will with him also freely give us all things. If you consider him as having ratified the covenant and pledged himself ultimately to complete all his stipulations in the ingathering of every chosen, ransomed soul, you'll perceive that there's enough to engross your meditation forever, even were your attention limited to the manifestation of the Father's love. Or, if you choose to do so, you may meditate upon God the Holy Spirit. Consider his marvelous operations on your own heart, how he quickened it when you were dead in trespasses and sins, how he brought you nigh to Jesus when you were a lost sheep, wandering far from the fold, how he called you with such a mighty efficacy that you could not resist his voice, how he drew you with the bands of love that would not let you go. If you think how often he has helped you in the hour of peril, how frequently he has comforted you with his promises in times of distress and trouble, if you remember that like holy oil, he will always supply your lamp, and until life's latest hour, he'll always replenish you with his influences, proving himself still your teacher and your guide until you get up yonder, where you shall see your Savior face to face in the blessed presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In such great truth, you may well find a vast and indeed infinite subject for your meditation, but I prefer rather to confine this word, him, to the person of our adorable Savior. My meditation of him shall be sweet. If it be possible that the meditation upon one person of the Trinity can excel the meditation upon another, it is meditation upon Jesus Christ, thou precious Jesus. What can be a sweeter theme for me to think on than thine exalted being, to conceive of thee as the Son of God who fashioned this round world, to think of thee as the God who holds this mighty orb upon thy shoulders, Thou who art the King of glory, before whom angels bow in lowliest homage. And yet to consider thee as likewise bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, to conceive of thee as the Son of Mary, born of a virgin, made flesh like ordinary men, clothed in garments of humanity like mortals of our feeble race. To picture thee in all thy suffering life, to trace thee in all thy passion, to view thee in the agony of Gethsemane, enduring the bloody sweat, the sore amazement, and then to follow thee to the pavement, Gabbatha, and thence up the steep side of Calvary, bearing the cross, braving the shame, when thy soul was made an offering for my sins, when thou didst die the reconciling death amidst horrors still to all but God unknown. Verily, now here is a meditation for my soul that must be sweet forever. I might, like the psalmist, say, my heart is inditing a good matter. The marginal reading is, it boileth or bubbleth up. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, Psalm 45:1. Take Jesus for the theme of your meditation. Sit down and consider him. Think of his relation to your own soul, and you'll never get to the end of that one subject. Think of his eternal relationship to you. Recollect that the saints were from all condemnation free in union with the Lamb before the world was made. Think of your everlasting union with the person of Jehovah Jesus before this planet was sent rolling through space. Recollect how your guilty soul was accounted spotless and clean even before you fell. And after that dire lapse, before you were restored, justification was imputed to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Think of your known and manifest relationship to him since you have been called by his grace. Think how he has become your brother, how his heart has beaten in sympathy with yours, how he has kissed you with the kisses of his mouth, and his love has been to you sweeter than wine. Look back upon some happy, sunny spots in your history where Jesus has whispered, I am yours, and you have said, my beloved is mine. I think of some pensive moments when you have had what Paul sets so much store by, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. Think of seasons when the sweat has rolled from your brow, almost as it did from that of Jesus, yet not the sweat of blood. When you have knelt down and felt that you could die with Christ, even as you had risen with him. And then when you have exhausted that portion of the subject, think of your relationship to Christ that is to be developed in heaven. Picture to your mind that moment when Jesus Christ shall salute you as more than a conqueror, and put a golden crown upon your head, more glittering than the stars. And think of that transporting hour when you will take that crown from off your brow, and climbing the steps of Jesus' throne, you shall put it on his head and crown him once more Lord of your soul as well as Lord of all. If you come and tell me you have no subjects for meditation, I will answer, surely you have not tried to meditate, or you would say with the psalmist, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Suppose you've done thinking of your Savior as he is specially related to you, and then consider him next as he is related to the wide world. Recollect what Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And undoubtedly he will one day save the world, for he who redeemed it by price and by power will restore it and renew it from the effects of the fall. Oh, think of Jesus in this relationship as the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in, as in Isaiah 58:12. He will come again to our earth one day. When he comes, he will find this world still defaced with the old curse upon it, the primeval curse of Eden. He will find plague, pestilence, and war here still. But when he comes, he will bid men beat their swords into plowshares. and their spears into pruning hooks. War shall be obliterated from among the sciences. He shall give the word, and there shall be a great company that will publish it. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Jesus Christ shall come. Christians, be ye ever watching and waiting for the second coming of your Lord Jesus Christ. And whilst ye wait, meditate upon that coming. Think, O my soul, of that august day when thou shalt see him with all his glorious train coming to call the world to judgment and to avenge himself upon his enemies. Think of all his triumphs when Satan shall be bound, death shall be crushed, and hell shall be conquered. And when he shall be saluted as the universal monarch who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I believe that even when we get to heaven, we shall need no subject for meditation there except Jesus Christ. There'll be little else we shall want of heaven beside Jesus Christ. He will be our bread, our food, our beauty, and our glorious dress. The atmosphere of heaven will be Christ. Everything in heaven will be Christ-like. Yea, Christ is the heaven of his people. To be in Christ and to be with Christ is the essence of heaven. Charles Spurgeon, from a sermon delivered on the Lord's Day at New Park Street Chapel, Southwark, on a Thursday evening in the summer of 1858. Well, that's it for this time and for this week. Lord willing, for those who are in real time, we get back to the Romans thing tomorrow, the 25th, tomorrow, November 2018. Hope you had a great week, great Thanksgiving. The Lord bless you today. And remember, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.